Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to my podcast channel. I'd like to say a very big thank you. Basically, yesterday I announced my podcast channel via my Instagram page or Instagram subscription, whatever you want to call it, and I've been really pleased with the feedback I've had. I've had lots of people contact me, and that's really great. Thank you very much for doing that, and some great sort of positive feedback as well, people saying how good it is to hear something different and keeping up with current trends, which I think is really important. And I'd like to thank you very much for, like I say, those comments. And I hope you've enjoyed listening to it and you've subscribed. And don't forget to do that. And like I always say, if you haven't checked out my Instagram profile yet, go and have a look. It's at SunseekerTom. It's on this album artwork of this podcast. So today we're going to do another interview slash chat with somebody who I'd like to introduce you to. He probably knows a lot more about Sunseekers than most. He certainly had more Sunseekers than most people have had over the years, and lots of experience. So I'm going to introduce you to my father, who's called Joe Wills. So we'll say hello this afternoon. Hi, Dad.
Hello. It's Tom, Troy D here, known as TD, Tom's dad.
So what we're going to do is just basically ask my father some of his experiences, more relating to Sunseeker boats. So my father's had, I think we've worked out, how many boats? Is it 18?
18 boats altogether.
18 boats altogether, all different shapes and sizes. And obviously I wasn't around for all of them, some of the earlier ones, but most of the later ones I was around for, thankfully. So how did you get into boating, Dad?
Well, it started with a passion when I was probably 10 or 11 years old. I was brought up on the Holy Loch in Scotland, my sandbank, and attached to Robertson's Yard there was a 16-foot clinker-built launch with a single-cylinder Lister engine that ran on paraffin. And I used to spend hours and hours and hours with it, and it gets into your blood. And since then, I've always had a passion for boats. To me, boats are just beautiful things to own. They're great stabilisers. And over the years, I've had 18 boats altogether. My favourite boats, of course, have always been Sunseekers, which to me are the classic design, English design boats, just beautifully built boats, high quality. And I've had lots of them. I've thoroughly enjoyed them. I mean, one of the things people have said to me several times, running businesses and things I've done in the past, how do you stay sane? I've got a boat. One of the things with a boat, you can arrive down to the marina with every trouble in the world, get onto it, and it's like somebody poured water on it. It's another world. And the other important thing is, in my early years, I actually started flying, got a private pilot's license, rated for twins. But you don't share that with anybody. Nobody really come up with you on it. But having a boat is something you share with somebody. And particularly when my family started growing up, my son, who is with me now, and my daughter, we shared a lot of things together. We shared bad weather. We shared breakdowns. We shared problems. And it's something you build a bond with your family. And I can say happily now that probably my best friend is sitting beside me, because I grew up with him. I grew up with him. He showed him how to do things, and he's a master on them. And of course, he now sells these beautiful boats as well. What a lovely thing to do.
So let's work out. So what was the, I think the first boat I can remember having as a family, and we did actually dig out some old YouTube footage. Well, it wasn't YouTube footage, but it was VHS footage. And if none of you have done this, what I would suggest is for about £50 on eBay, you can go and buy a device that allows you to copy your VHSs onto your computer. And what I did a while ago, a couple of years ago now, is I found these old VHSs, which I remember watching as a kid. And I've put them onto YouTube. And if you go to my YouTube channel, which I haven't mentioned before, but not that I'm a YouTuber, but Thomas J. Wills, I think it is, there's actually some footage on there of the first boat I can remember as of having as a family, which was probably when I was about 5 or 6, maybe a bit older than that.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah,
which is a Princess 286, which is, if you don't know, is a nice looking boat. Again, go and have a Google. I always say that. Go and Google image it. Princess 286. And I remember it was called Tiffany Rose. And that's probably one of my first memories of having a boat as a family. And then we didn't have a boat for a while, did we? I think we didn't have a boat for ages, did we?
Building businesses. They cost a lot of money, boats. And building a business, there wasn't time or the money to buy another boat. But as soon as I had the money, as soon as I had the time, I bought another one.
And then I remember when we were, I don't know, I must have been about 10 or 11, maybe a bit older, 12. And I remember we were driving all over the country looking for Chris Craft 21s. And we went to Bates Wharf to look at one. I remember it was inside there. And we looked at this boat and it looked massive. And we were going to buy that boat, weren't we, to
That's
use.
That's right. I was going to go and pick it up that week.
And we went to one boatyard. I don't even remember. Where was the boatyard we went to?
It was in Essex somewhere. It was, it was way over in Essex on Bradwell. Bradwell Estuary somewhere, but it was a Tomahawk 37,
It was on barrels. I remember it was grey Tomahawk 37 sitting on barrels. Yeah. And what was it called? Against All Odds, wasn't
Against
it?
All Odds, which was a good name because I'd built new businesses and people said to me, we're never going to do it. Against All Odds, I did. And when I saw this boat, this beautiful Sunseeker 37 Hawk, which I don't know, but I think it was a repossession or something like that. It was the right colour. It was grey with a blue band with a couple of big petrol engines in it. That was it. I had to have it.
And we brought that boat, and I remember the we took it and we put it in Penton Hook Marina, didn't we?
Yeah, on the River Thames.
And I was about 12, and we'd drive. And that time we lived in Northampton. We didn't live in Devon, and we lived in Northampton, and it was on Penton Hook Marina. We'd go down at weekends cleaning it, wouldn't we? And
yeah.
Driving up and down, and occasionally when no one was looking, we'd sort of open it up a little bit.
Keep but, a little blast.
Yeah, interesting boat. That was a nice boat, wasn't it? And then we moved it down to Plymouth, didn't we, that one?
Yeah, I can remember the day we went down to Plymouth. There was great excitement to go down to the MTL Marina in Plymouth. And we're there loading it onto a truck, and we had to drive around. We wanted to see it arrive in Plymouth, and we went the wrong way around the M25 and missed it. It arrived in Plymouth before we did. But it was down there at, what's the Plymouth Marina?
QAB.
QAB. And it was down there for a few weeks, and we met a guy down there who was a docky at Torquay. He had a little Princess 330, which is really nice, Adrian. He's now the harbour master over in Paignton. And one of the places to go to, you should get into Torquay. It's really the sort of marina where Tomahawk should go. It's the right area. But it was fully booked. But bless him, he got us a berth in Torquay, and I think it was 27 years ago. And we've been here
ever since. That long ago, is it?
Yeah.
And then, so we had that boat for what, 2 years?
Yeah, we had that for Tomahawk for 2 years.
It was a bit small, wasn't it, for all of us?
Yeah, but as the family grew up, I mean, we couldn't spend weekends on it. I mean, my wife and daughter slept on the sun pad and got wet feet sticking out through the covers, and some nights to sleep downstairs. So it was too small as a family boat. We lived in Northampton then, in Chapel Brampton, and it was a 3.5-4 hour drive down, so we needed something a bit bigger. So I got on very well with Philip Taylor at Sunseeker in Poole. In fact, he's still a friend now. And we traded it in. We bought a Comanche, a 40-foot Comanche, the first ever Sunseeker with a jet ski in the back. Lovely boat.
When it worked. We won't dwell on that point, but we didn't have too many mechanic. We didn't have much mechanical success with that boat, to say the least. Didn't last long, did it, that one?
No, we didn't. No, it soon went.
And then what did we get after the Comanche?
I had a lovely boat, Mystique 42, with lovely Caterpillar engines, the 328 Caterpillars, 425 horsepower. A lovely boat. Sometimes I wonder why I changed it.
We brought that boat down from, I remember when we were younger, we brought it down from Poole, didn't we? And we sat for the eclipse. And when was that, 2000?
That's right. We came down from Poole. The day I picked it up, we came straight down to Torquay. We'd stayed overnight in Torquay. We went down to the West Country to with Thomas and his daughter Charlotte to experience the eclipse offshore.
And that was good, wasn't it? I remember that happening.
Was good.
I can't remember what year it was. I think it was 2000. So I have to Google it. But whenever that was, I do vividly remember that. And we had that boat for what, 4 years?
4 years.
3 or 4 years. And that was a good boat, wasn't it?
It was a lovely boat. Never let us down. Lovely engine. I bugged the air conditioning up in it once because I switched the pump off, but it was a lovely boat.
And there's a lovely sliding door. If you ever look at the, we'll go into detail now, but the Mystique 42, it's got a beautiful door, didn't it? Going into the cabin.
Yeah, into the cabin. Lovely door. It's a lovely boat, actually. And the thing with Sunseekers, they're just, not just they're good to look at, they're beautifully built. The build quality, and I've owned 18 boats. I've had boats since I was a child, and I understand the quality of a boat, and Sunseekers has the quality. They always have done. And then I traded that in because we felt needed something bigger. We were spending much more time in Devon. So I traded that in with Philip Taylor and bought a Camargue 51, which without doubt is one of my favourite Sunseekers. That had big MAN engines in it, 680 mans. And it was one of the real last classic Sunseekers. If you look at a Camargue 51, pictures, every angle on it complements the other angle. It's just a beautiful boat, fabulous sea boat. It was as fast as a ski boat. I mean, no one could believe how fast that thing went. I think we sea tried it was over 40 knots.
When we sold that boat, I mean, unfortunately he's now passed away, very sad, but Tony McGraw did the survey for the buyers, and we'd off Berry Head, we'd had it for what, 10 years, and I think it did 41.8 knots on sea trial. At the same time, though, as we had the 51, we also had use of that other boat, didn't we? We had a Superport 48.
Yeah, and a Superport 48 as well, which was as anything to do to have two boats at the same time, which was great fun. I mean, it was a lovely, great fun boat. You know, go out looking for the bad weather in it, looking for some waves in it, make it fly.
That was a good boat, but it wasn't even as fast as the big boat, was it?
No, the 51 Cad was faster. And the Super Hawk had triple four. Well, the
triple 44s, Cad 44s,
Cad 44s, and the Camargue was faster.
But it was interesting to have the two together, wasn't it, for a while?
It was, yeah.
And we had the 51 then for about 10 years, didn't
about
we?
About 10 years we had it, yeah.
And maybe what we'll do in future episodes is we'll actually talk about some of the specific trips we did on that boat in a bit more detail. But over that frame, I think when we got it, it had done 320 hours. And I think when we sold it, it had done over 1,000.
Oh, so nearly 1,100 hours.
We did a lot of hours and a lot of fun in it. It was a great boat. And that never, ever let us down, did it?
No, not once. Not once. One time did it ever hiccup.
Ever go wrong.
Until the day I sold it and the fuse went, which turned out to be an £800 fuse, because nobody found where it was, the engineers. And it was just a fabulous boat. But we then moved to Devon. We had it down. Tom was at University of Exeter, my daughter at University of Plymouth. And as they grow up, we then moved down here. We didn't need a boat of that size anymore. I changed direction of boat. Still to Sunseekers, but something a bit smaller.
So after the 51, when we sold that, whatever year it was, I think it was probably 2007, something like that, 2006, something like that, maybe. Yeah. And then you had a passion for Chris Crafts, didn't you, which we won't talk about too much, because that's financially a disaster. But we had Chris Crafts for a while, which didn't really work. And interestingly, other people now try and sell those boats as well. And then we had a couple of ribs, didn't we? We had a season where we had three ribs in a year, which was an interesting year. And we started off with ribeye, didn't we? Then we had a few Cobras, and we ended up with an 8-meter Cobra, and that was a lot of fun, that bit of kit. But then we got back into Sunseekers, didn't we? We brought you had a passion for a Super Hawk, didn't you? Another Super Hawk. So we had, what did you buy then?
I bought a Super Hawk 43, which was another James Bond boat, but again it was the right color. Sorry, it was in Croatia actually, and it was gray, the same as Tomahawk. And to me that's one of the classic colors, and it was the about the right money, had the right engines, D6s. I just had to have it, so I bought it.
That was a lovely looking boat, and I think in the last few years that has definitely been one of my favourite boats. It was a really, although it wasn't the most practical boat in the world, it was a lovely looking boat, and it went well, and it ran really well.
Yeah.
And that sold, and we actually sold that to our group sales director, Chris Head. He had a friend of his, or business contact, which wanted one, and he bought it and went to Ireland, but he didn't have it long, and it's actually back in Weymouth or Portland now, again, on the market. But and then we bought a really rare boat, didn't we, the last couple of years?
Yeah, a very rare one, a Sunseeker Sportfisher, which I've always liked. I mean, when it first came out years ago, I've still got the magazine when it first came out, everyone would say, well, what's Sunseeker doing building a thing like that? But it was an American designed boat with a T-top on it. And it's quite funny, really, now, that the one of the trends now is everyone wants T-tops. And these fishing boats have become very popular. It was a nice boat. It took a lot of work to get it right. It had been in south of France, and it had been abused a bit. Although, as I say again, the quality of a Sunseeker was there. It's the peripherals that have the problems. You know, the air conditioning worked properly, and the generator didn't start. But the boat itself was fantastic.
It was one owner boat, wasn't it?
One owner boat.
Guy from Paris had owned it, but
it was fast. And one of the reasons for changing with the Super, I loved the Super 43, but at that point I had three grandchildren. Now I have four. The problem with the thing is, I love to share the experience with my family, and the grandchildren just love the boat. And I've got some lovely videos of the children on the boat, particularly my oldest grandson. And the problem with that Super is, when you're at the helm, the children are behind you. And the boat, the style of the boat, just slopes away at the stern. And you've got no idea where those children are, really. And if anything went wrong, you'd lose them. It's dangerous with the children. Great fun for adults. The advantage with the Sportfisher, one of the reasons for buying it, was that the Sportfisher, the helm's almost in the stern. And the passenger compartment is in front of you. So when you're at sea, you can actually see where the children are, because they're sitting in front of you. And it had accommodation on it, and air conditioning, and had a generator, and it was a super
nice
boat.
Yeah,
it was a nice boat.
I think we've missed actually one boat there, which we've actually missed one boat. Remember the Hawk 27? Oh, and the other one we've missed, the baby Sunseeker, which we've had more recently than most, is so basically in between when we had the Sunseeker 51, we found a long story. We'll talk about this on another episode, but we found a 27 Hawk in Poole, which was with a guy owned by a chap called Russell, who I still speak to, who owns Elite Signs in Poole, nice chap. And he had this boat with no engines in, and a friend of ours had a Portofino F31, which he was retrofitting with some diesels, which he'd salvaged from another boat which had sunk, and he cut it up on a beach. And that's I was actually talking to him this morning, and he said he'd listen to my podcast. So maybe, Martin, there's a good discussion for us to have, because that would be very interesting, because there's not many people that can say they've cut up a Portofino 31 on a beach, which we have done, and it was not a great experience, but nonetheless we did it. So anyway, we put these petrol engines in this Hawk, and it was a good little boat, wasn't it?
It was a nice little boat.
It was a nice bit of fun.
I think it's one of the most beautiful little Sunseekers, actually. There's 27 Hawk and the 29 Mohawk. They're just beautiful looking little boats.
I've actually got some pictures on my somewhere, and I'll perhaps have to post them. But and then I hinted at the start of that little bit there that we also had a very rare boat, and we forgot this. We had them all up. We had the Outlaw. Now, the Outlaw was designed as a tender to one of my favourite boats, which wasn't actually in my top list of boats. When it was designed to go into the Predator 63 as a tender, and this really was probably when Sunseeker was sort of in the heyday of really going for it on fun and enjoyment. And this was designed purely to go back in the boat, and we brought one from Scotland, didn't we? We drove all the way to Glasgow back in the day to pick up this little boat, which seemed a good idea at the time. But again, that perhaps joined the club with the Comanche on the mechanical issues wasn't the most...
The engine was very, very, very old-fashioned two-stroke engine. It wasn't that... I bought it basically as a present for the grandchildren, and it didn't work. One of the grandchildren was too young. It just didn't work. And it was silly to keep it, so just offload it.
So let's add up the Sunseeker. So what have we got? We've got Tomahawk 37, Comanche 40, Mystique 42, Camargue 51, Suport 48, Suport 43, Sportsfisher 37, Hawk 27, Outlaw. We've got to find a 10th. We've got to have a 10th one. We've got to get 10. We've got to have another Sunseeker.
There's another one somewhere.
I don't think we've had any more, but if not, we'll have to make sure we get
one. Well, I mean, I'm looking now.
We have to get a 10th Sunseeker.
I had an issue last year where I wasn't very well, so I didn't have the boat. I sold the Sportfisher because I couldn't use it. But I'm now looking for another boat for this summer, and it will be, without doubt, a Sunseeker.
So if anyone's got any ideas out there, I've always fancied, and you may not know this one, or you may do it, but somebody who follows me on Instagram has just bought one of these. I won't mention their names, but Portofino 32, cracking little boat, really smart. The problem is finding a good one. But they're a really nice boat. They've got a great cockpit for families. You can sleep four in them, so maybe we need to try and find one of those.
Yeah. Pretty boat.
It's been really good chatting to Dad and talking to about the boats, and I hope you found it interesting, because there's not many people, I think, that can probably say they've had almost double figures of Sunseekers, and we will make it double figures. We'll have to make sure we do. So I hope that's been interesting. Like I said, we can talk about some of our more specific trips on the Camargue 51. We did the Isles of Scilly, didn't we? We did the Channel Islands, Cherbourg. We got stuck in some really, really bad weather. We got hit by lightning once. That was a bit of an experience, wasn't it?
Scary actually. Lightning hit the radar arch, hit the windscreen, bounced off that,
didn't it?
Threw us across the boat.
That was an experience, to say the least. But yeah, it was good fun. So, like I said, we have to talk about a few more of those trips in future episodes. But I hope you found that really interesting. Please don't forget to subscribe, I should say. Also go check my Instagram account out and make sure you follow me. Any comments, welcome. Feedback, please, please, please. I want some feedback. It's great to hear any positive or negative feedback. And please keep listening. It's great to see my listen count going up. I think Audio Boom is a great system for doing these podcasts. And it's really interesting to see the demographics of who's listening, where you're listening. And it's great to see quite a lot of American people listening. So hello from the UK to America, which is really good. Keep going, keep sharing. Please mention about it. I've also had a number of people from Instagram mention that they would like to do some sort of collaborations. I've got some really interesting ideas on that. I've had a contact in Australia saying he wants to do something. We're going to definitely do more with Dad. We're going to do more with Mark Taylor, because I think there's lots of interesting points there as well. And of course, I'll feature a bit more as well. I hope that's all right. But thank you again for listening. Wish you a good afternoon. It's the afternoon here in the UK, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon. So I'll see you soon.
Yep, I hope, and thank you for spending time listening to me. Maybe we'll catch up again with you sometime. Lots more stories. Bye.